Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
As we've been looking at the letter that the Apostle Paul has written to the churches in Galatia, there's one thing that's clear. Even after Paul had been with them on several occasions, and he had led those men and women to Christ, and he had stayed there and he had taught them the truth of the Word of God, still, they didn't understand the truth. They weren't grounded in the Word. How do we know that? Because when some men came in among them and started to tell them that they needed to keep the law of God in order to have a relationship with Him, in order to be made right before God, that they needed to do something in addition to the sacrifice of Christ for them as the basis for salvation, what did they do? They believed those false teachers. They were confused, like many people today are confused, by those who speak and who claim to speak for Christ. So now for over five chapters, the Apostle Paul has attempted to correct their misunderstanding, and he has approached it from almost every way possible. He wants to help them to understand the truth. But as we know, understanding the truth, knowing the truth, and living it can be two entirely different things. Many people know the truth. Even demons know it. But many people choose not to obey it. Many people choose not to listen to it. And even though they call themselves Christians, they choose to live for themselves. They choose to live in sin. So Paul says in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, "But I say this to you, if you truly belong to Christ, then you will walk that way," peripateo in Greek. "You will live that way. You'll conduct your life in such a way, in such a manner, that it is worthy of Christ." Isn't that what we were told in Colossians 1:10? That we were to walk in a way that pleases Him? Walking in humility? Walking in gentleness? It says in Ephesians 4:2. Walking with patience, in love? Walking, it says in 1 John 2:6, the way that Christ walked. That sounds difficult, doesn't it? That sounds more difficult than to try and keep the law. And Paul said it was impossible to keep the law. It is true that living the Christian life is impossible. It would be like living under the law. We would all fail. We would all fall short. Except that Christ does not expect us to live this life on our own. Why? Because now He lives within us. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, lives within those of us who belong to Christ. And that makes all the difference. 2 Corinthians 6:16, the Lord said this, "I will dwell where? In them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people." For those of us who know Christ, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives within us, and that is not just a metaphor. That's not just a figure of speech. As we are told in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, that he dwells within us. And if we don't belong to Christ, we won't have the Spirit living within us. But those who do know Christ, have his Spirit dwelling within them. So now, he is the one who enables us to live for him. He is the one who gives us the ability to be worthy, to walk worthy of him. We're not left on our own. We're not left to do it by ourselves. And so as we read the Word of God, as we immerse ourselves in his Word, as we immerse ourselves in Christ, the Holy Spirit leads us. He guides us step by step, verse by verse, day by day. He leads. We follow. That's the pattern. So Paul says, yes, this is how you are to live, verse 16. You are to walk by the Spirit, by means of the Spirit. That is the way that we make progress in our life. If you want to make progress in your walk with Christ, Paul says you walk by means of the Spirit. You walk by means of him as what? We yield ourselves to him every minute of every day. He guides us. It's where we get our direction. That's where we get the ability to be able to live this life that would be impossible to live without him. And so he says this, if we will let go of our way and we will live according to his way as the Spirit of God leads us, what will happen? Verse 16, he says this, you will not carry out, teleo, you won't fulfill what? The desire, the epithumia, the lusts, the passions, the longings for what we think we need, for what we want, whatever that may be. Whatever he says satisfies the desire of the flesh. Sarx in Greek. Our natural inclinations. Those efforts, the things we do, our aspirations, our goals, anything apart from the desire and the will of God for us. Apart from his plan. Anything that exalts us instead of exalting Christ. Anything that satisfies us. Our weaknesses that pull us and carry us along in the wrong direction. Everything that we do, where we try to function apart from him, we go in our own direction. We're not being led by the Spirit of God. We're being led by our flesh. But even though we know that, even though we are aware of that, even though we yield ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit in obedience to him, surrendering ourselves as a living sacrifice, Paul tells us in verse 17, our flesh will still resist the work of the Spirit in us. He wants to produce a life that glorifies Christ. That's the work of the Spirit. He came to glorify him. But sometimes, many times, perhaps for some of us, it's a struggle. There's tension within us. We want to do what's right. We want to please Christ. What happens? There's a thought. There's a feeling. There's a word that comes from us. And it's not consistent with who we are in Christ. We're a new creation in him, right? Somehow we've gotten all tangled up in the thinking, in the words, in the actions of the world. So what do? We do what comes naturally to us. We walk according to the flesh. For the flesh, he says in verse 17. What Romans 6:19 calls the weakness of the flesh. The place where the enemy knows he can attack us. The place where we sometimes are influenced by sin. The weakness of the flesh. The weakness of the flesh, Paul says, within us sets its desire. It's longing to be satisfied against, kata, contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, he says, he sets himself against our flesh. So the flesh attempts to pull us away from Christ, while the Spirit seeks to lead us to him in the right direction. For these two, Paul says, the flesh and the spirit are in opposition to each other. Antichimai. They're enemies. They're enemies to each other. Waging war, we're told in Romans chapter 7. Within us. For those who don't know Christ, they don't experience this kind of conflict. There is no war within them. Why? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't live within them. So there is no war. There is no battle. The battle is within us who do know Christ. But we're not always victorious in this battle, are we? Sometimes we grieve the Spirit of God because we ignore him. We ignore his leading in our life. So it says that in the weakness of our flesh, we do not always do poeo. We do not always produce the things in our life that please God. Phileo, the things that we want to do because we know it glorifies Christ. He says we don't always do that. Sometimes our flesh gets in the way. But thanks be to God that there is victory in Christ. We don't need to be slaves anymore to those fleshly desires. Why? Romans 13:14, he says this, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, when you do that, keep removing the things that dishonor him, that disgrace him. He says, make no provision, make no room for the flesh in your life, for its lusts. Get the thought out of your mind. He says, get the desire, remove the desire. Don't allow those things to take root within you, within your mind, within your heart. Get rid of that stubborn, rebellious attitude. But instead, he says here in verse 18, by the power of the Holy Spirit, make it the goal of your life to pursue a life that brings glory to Christ. But that can only happen if we will be consistently, are being consistently led by the Spirit of God. He leads us how? According to the Word of God. And if we are being led, Paul says in verse 18, if we are being led by the Spirit of God, he says, if you're being consistently directed by him, you are not under the law. You're not under the law. You're not living according to the works of the law. You're not living according to the flesh. You're not living according to what you think you must do in order to please Christ. That's all gone. Why? Because we're being led by the Spirit of God. Then, Paul says, you are no longer under that kind of bondage. Remember, the law brings bondage. But he says, you are free. You are free to please God now. Free because of what the Spirit is doing, not because of our own strength, not because of our own ability. But he says, we are free from our own efforts because it is the Holy Spirit who is producing the life of Christ in us. What a concept. So, how do we know? How do we know if we're living according to the flesh? Or we're living according to the Spirit? How do we know if He is producing that kind of life in us? Or it's all about our own efforts? There's a difference, Paul says. There are things we won't see in our lives, and then there are things we will see. So now he says, listen. Listen to this, verse 19. The deeds of the flesh are evident. Phaneros. They're brought to the light. They're obvious. Or they should be obvious to us. Sometimes it seems they're more obvious to the people around us who look at our lives than they are to us. Sometimes we're the last to see. So Paul says, let me give you some examples. Let me give you examples of this kind of behavior, these deeds of the flesh, some of which are these, he says, verse 19, immorality, porneia, fornication, any physical, sexual relationship with anyone, except between a man and a woman within the marriage relationship. Anything else, we are told, is porneia. Well, that's pretty specific. That's pretty obvious. Paul says, then there are those whose entire life is characterized by this attitude of sin. Characterized, he says, by impurity. Akatharia. Uncleanness. It's a word that was used to describe a wound that had an infection. But here, it is a moral infection. A character flaw. A vile, impure life. But there are some who are not content with that. That's not enough. Paul says they prefer a lifestyle of sensuality. Of aselegia, a life that has no restraints, no limits, no respect, no decency. A lifestyle of recklessness. Well, there are also examples of the flesh, Paul says, that have to do with religion. For example, he says, idolatry. Idololatria means to serve. Serve anyone other than the one true God. To place anything above Him. Anything as the object of our worship other than our first love, who is Christ. What do we think about when we have the opportunity to think about whatever we want to think about? That's our God. Paul said that is an indication of a life lived in the flesh. False religion. But then there are those who go even deeper, he says. They knowingly practice sorcery. Pharmakia in Greek. From where we get our English word pharmaceutical. They use drugs to bring a person into an altered state of mind. Anything that brings a person into an altered state of mind so that by their actions, they worship demons. Anything. The occult. Witchcraft. Anything. That takes us into that area where we worship the enemy. And there are other areas, Paul says. areas of our personal relationships with each other. They can be an indication that we are walking, that we are living by the flesh. Examples, he says in verse 20, such as enmities, ekthra, a hateful attitude. Those feelings of hostility that we have towards someone. Feelings that we may be keeping inside, but feelings that are consuming us, eating away at us. But sometimes they come out, Paul says, verse 20, as strife, eris, as bitter quarreling and arguments and fighting. Or maybe that hostility just smolders within us, stays inside us as jealousy, as zealous. So we seethe, we churn, because we want what someone else has. Or maybe that hostility bursts into flames in our life as an outburst of anger, as thumos, as uncontrolled wrath, a violent temper. Sometimes this ugliness of our desires, of these fleshly desires, can be seen in disputes, Paul says in verse 20. Erethea, in our selfish, self-centered rivalries as we step on one another to get what we want. Sometimes it's seen, he says, in dissensions. Diostateo, we separate ourselves from everyone else. We stand aloof. We stand apart. Sometimes we don't want to stand alone, so we get other people within the body of Christ to stand with us, he says, and it can take the form of faction, haresis. We choose sides. We divide the body of Christ, not because of truth, but we divide it because of opinions, because of personalities. We hurt each other, he says, by envyings, thonos, feelings of ill will, where we want to pull someone down because we see that God is blessing their life. So we pull them down. Or maybe we've just fallen into the excess of drunkenness. Or maybe we've gone into the gutter of carousings, komos, of a life, of a public display of sinful behavior. Paul says in verse 21, and things like these, as difficult as it is to hear, things like these are examples. Examples of a lifestyle that is lived according to the flesh. A lifestyle of which, he says, I forewarn you. I'm telling you about it now, in advance, just as I have forewarned you before. I've spoken about these things before. Remember what I said, that those who practice these things, and this is a key, it's proso in Greek, those who have these things as the pattern of their life, their lifestyle. He says this, then, that is the proof that they do not belong to Christ. And he says, they will not inherit, kleronomeo, they will not have a part in heaven. They will not receive the blessings of those who know Christ, that are found in the kingdom of God. Remember, there is no fruit from a dead tree. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 15? It's by their fruit you will know them. By their fruit they will give evidence that they know me. But, Paul says, verse 22, for those who are walking, who are living, not by their own efforts, not according to the flesh. He says, but for those who are walking by the Spirit, it's a different story. You'll see something different. But it won't be us who's trying to live that way. Paul says he will be producing in them, in us, what we cannot do for ourselves. He said he produces the fruit of the Spirit, the karpos in Greek. It is a life that is like a harvest of wheat. A life that is yielded to the Spirit. And so we will see him produce in us a life that will give proof, that will give evidence of a real relationship with Christ. And what will we see? Character. The strength of godly character. The character of Christ produced within us. We can't produce that ourselves. We will begin to see him produce that in us. We will see Christ living through us. So we will see this, Paul says, love, agape. A love that chooses to sacrifice for others, whether they deserve it or not. That's the love of Christ. Romans chapter 5, it says that while we were enemies, while we were sinners, what did Christ do? Did he wait for us to change? No, it says he died for us. That's the kind of love we will begin to see in our lives, Paul says. We will see that as the Spirit of God produces that in us. And like Christ, we will have joy, he says. Gladness. We'll rejoice even in hardships. Even in difficulties. Why? Because we belong to him. Our joy will come from our relationship with him, not from the circumstances in our life. And if we will live at the center of his will, Paul says, then we will have peace within us. As the storms of life rage around us, we will have the peace of God as we entrust ourselves to him, because we know he is ever faithful to us. We will begin to be patient, Paul says. Macrothumia, the long-tempered way that Christ has been patient with us. So we will forgive each other the way he has forgiven us. We will show kindness to each other. He says we'll do what's right. We'll do. We'll care about each other. And we'll do what honors the Lord. We will show goodness, generosity. He says we will set the standard of excellence in our life. We will live a life above reproach. We will exhibit faithfulness, trustworthiness. We will be a person who is and who does what is right. A life of integrity. We'll have integrity in our lives. And he says our life will be characterized by this. By gentleness, quiet, strength, tenderness, but not weakness. He says we will no longer be out of control, but he says we will show self-control, control over our emotions, over our feelings, over our thoughts, over our actions. And Paul says, against such things as these, in opposition to a life like that, He said there is no law. There's nothing written about that. Why? Well, he says maybe to a degree the law could control sin to a degree, but that's all it could ever do. The law can't produce a life that the Spirit is producing in us. A life of harmony with God, with each other. But the fact is, we don't have the ability to live a life like that. Because if we try to do it on our own, it's just artificial fruit. It's only the Spirit who can produce that kind of life in us. So the question is for all of us, will we yield to the Spirit of God? Will we yield to Him as we are filled with the Word? Will we follow His leading? Or will we be led around by our flesh? Now, those of us who know Christ Jesus, Paul says in verse 24, he says, we've crucified the flesh. It's been nailed to the cross. It's been executed along with Christ and its passions and its desires. What is he saying? He's saying, now it no longer has real power over us anymore. There is victory. The victory's been won. Christ won the victory. So he says, because we are now no longer slaves to sin, and that's the lie of the enemy, he wants us to think we're slaves to sin. He says, but now we are free. So, turn away from your sin. You can do it, not in your own strength, but in the power of Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, you are free, and now you are free, he says, to live. To live our lives by the Spirit. So he says, if we live by the Spirit, verse 25, let us walk by the Spirit. It's a different word for walk than we found in verse 16. There that word meant to live, right? But here it is stoicheo in Greek. It's a military term. It means to keep marching. To keep marching in step with the Spirit. That is where there's victory. When we keep marching in step with the Spirit as He corrects us, as He disciplines us, as He convicts us, as He guides us, as we keep pace with Him in our life, there is victory. But remember, Paul says, we are to march in step. This isn't a competition. We're not running a race against each other. We're not to compare our walk, our march, with someone else's walk. So he says, don't become boastful. Kenodoxos. Don't think you're all of that. Don't think that your empty talk, your conceit, your arrogance is of the Spirit. He says, stop challenging one another. Stop provoking one another. Stop opposing each other. Stop envying each other. Because all of that has nothing to do with walking in the Spirit. He says, that is not marching in step with God. He says, that is a life that's lived once again according to the flesh, according to our lust. Not according to Christ Jesus, our Lord. Only He can help us to live that kind of life. May that be the desire of our heart today. To live for the glory of Christ, but not to live it in our own power, but to live it in the power that God supplies through His Spirit. Unlimited power that is available to us to live for Him. So may we examine our lives today and see if we are in the faith. See if we really belong to Him. And if we don't, may God give us a heart to seek his face and to be saved. And if we do know him, may we yield to him so that he might lead us to bring glory to Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.